Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Riley Green, as I live and breathe, here you are again. Welcome back to the UK.
Yeah, I feel like I was just here.
It doesn't feel like it was that long ago, to be fair. But the last time you were here, and we were talking about this, you played like, I mean, your debut in the UK was the biggest ever country music event in UK history. Yeah. So really, you've fallen down a little bit on this one.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's very opposite of how my career started in the States, you know, the tiniest little barbecue restaurants and Mexican joints that we were playing to going to, you know, doing stadiums with Luke Combs a year or so ago, and now we're headlining all these major festivals and arenas, and we started at the biggest place here, so we're going back.
But you have sold out 3 shows in London alone, so that's, and not to mention all the other places, Manchester and Glasgow and Birmingham, Dublin, Belfast, all of that. So you're doing all right.
I've been surprised in such a good way, everything we've had out here. You know, that first show was so great, and you know, I knew it was going to be a good opportunity. Morgan's having such a big moment. I knew there'd be a lot of people there, but they knew every word, everything we sang.
Of course they did.
And then, you know, you look at coming back. We've got an album out. Y'all have obviously been playing a lot of my songs.
Yes, so of course
I'm
we
really
have.
Looking forward to seeing what it's like headlining my own show.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be great. We're so happy that you're back. I want to, though, you mentioned a word that always makes my ears wiggle, and that was barbecue. So you started.
I brought some.
Oh, good. I thought that's what I said. I was like, that's an interesting cologne you're wearing. But no, it's barbecue.
From Alabama, we all smell like barbecue restaurants.
I worked in a barbecue restaurant in New York City. And I tell you what, you cannot get that out of your clothes.
No. But why would you want to?
Why?
You
know? Delicious. Yeah. Delicious. So you were playing barbecue restaurants, literally.
Yeah, I mean, not specifically and only barbecue restaurants.
Well, no, you weren't doing like a barbecue tour.
I was playing anywhere they would let me play.
Right. Yeah. Did you get free barbecue? Was that the payment?
That's about all I got. What I usually would do is I'd play and they would give me a $50 bar tab. Mm-hmm. And they'd, you know, tell me they were going to pay me $150 or something like that. And then a lot of times I would leave owing money. You know, like my buddies would go in. They would carry a speaker or something like they were part of the crew.
Right,
And then just go order a pitcher of beer and... Next thing you know, my $50 was gone like
that. And some burnt ends.
Yeah. But I mean, I just played every possible place that I could, bar, restaurant, honky-tonk, whatever it was. And I did that for about 8 years before anything really started happening for me.
What was the moment that it started happening? When were you like, oh, yeah, this is happening. Maybe I don't need to play barbecue restaurants anymore.
Well, there wasn't really one. So I didn't have a manager or a booking agent or anything. I just had a little business card with my phone number on it, and I'd pass out. So it was really word of mouth. People were telling.
Those would be worth something now. I'm assuming you've changed your number.
Yeah. It was rough there for a while. But it was really organic. It was an accident. You know, like I was doing construction work. I played because I enjoyed it. I didn't think I'd have any kind of career doing it, but people started to show up, and as I recorded music and put it out, I didn't realize that people could like go stream it and download it and buy it or whatever, and I didn't know I had a fan base. And I went to Birmingham. I remember a guy called me to play this place called Iron City, and it held about 1,300 people. And I'd seen Chris Stapleton play there before, and I thought, man, like it was like half full when he played. It was before he had his big moment. I said, man, it'll be empty, you know? The guy just kept saying, he kept hearing my name, and I went down there and played, and we sold 1,260 tickets, and I had no clue anybody knew who I was.
And you were like, I'm bigger than Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, for a minute. And then he hit all ACM awards and blew up, but it was really shocking to me that people had found my stuff like that, and I think it was just people riding around and going, hey, man, have you heard this guy?
Mm.
And, you know, passing a CD around in a truck, whatever it was. So it was a...
Yeah, but you know, your songs, I mean, obviously you've got your kind of, you know, your love songs and those appeal, obviously. But also you have songs that
they talk about a lot of kind of just everyday things, particularly, and not exclusively, but particularly, you know, things where you're from, the kind of rural lifestyle or farming or all that, you know, like, and people can relate to that stuff no matter where they're from, I think. And certainly they can relate to the love songs, obviously. But, you know, sometimes songs that might be so specific to you and your upbringing or something that you've been through actually can relate so much. Like, one of my favorite songs on this album of yours, the deluxe version, don't mind if I do, Turning Dirt, which I love. And it takes me back to a really specific time. Because, you know, I'm from East Tennessee. Yeah. And you talk about how it's your granddaddy you're talking about in mm-hmm. that. And he had the same John Deere tractor for 60 years and that you sat on his lap. And one of my happiest memories of my grandfather is him waking me up one morning early to go to a tractor auction because he needed a new tractor. And in the middle of the tractor auction, a downpour happened, like an absolute downpour. And so everybody was just ducking into the cabs of all these tractors that were being auctioned off. And me and my granddad went into this cab of a tractor, and I was a kid. I sat on his lap and we just talked while it was raining outside. And then we went to a barbecue restaurant actually and got hot dogs. And so I listen to that song, and I mean, it kind of gives me chills now because it's not a memory that I think about a lot, but your song made me do that.
I mean, that's something that's so cool about songwriting, and I think we all have, in all genres of music, those type of moments with songs, but that's a great example of something that wasn't even thought of when I wrote the song. You know, or like, there's so many times when I'll write something that I feel is very specific to me, and I've learned that you don't really fight that. You know, I think sometimes people will try to be too broad and try to be, you know, appeal to too many people. And I think there's something cool about those specific stories and really telling exactly how it went with you. And people find a way to make it about their own life, it seems like.
Yeah, I think when you try and be too broad, then you end up appealing to nobody. And it's that specific stuff that actually people latch on to.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you can tell when a story's real or somebody's, you know, and not necessarily every song I've written happened the way the song's written. But
sure,
something
course.
Happened Artistic to me that made
license,
me think of it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Yeah. I'll stretch the truth a little bit, but something in my life has happened to make me think that or come up with the idea or whatever it was. And that's a favorite song of mine as well.
I love it. I love it. So thank you for putting that out there because it literally is a memory of my grandfather that was kind of in there but hadn't really surfaced
well,
a lot.
Well, I also always love hearing people say that some of their favorite songs are what you would call an album cut. You know, it wasn't a single or anything. It was just one of those songs on the record. So that's cool.
You know, talking about people assuming that songs are absolutely real, you know, your artistic license and all that, and every great artist does that. You take something that's real to you, you extrapolate on it, or you write it exactly as it is, and nobody really needs to know which of those things it is. But you know what people are obsessed with, and they love to deep dive on your songs, is your love life.
Like, I noticed that.
People cannot... I get asked about it, and I'm like, well, I don't know.
You should just make something up.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Don't
worry.
That's what I would
do. I just talk to him. Yeah. Here's who he's dating.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there are songs that you have, and everybody loves the, oh, my God, is it about Megan? Is it about Ella? Is it about somebody new? Are they fighting? Is it this? Are you kind of like, are you happy to entertain that sort of stuff because it's all good for business? Or are you a bit like, come on, y'all?
Well, I don't have to do anything to entertain it. It's going to happen.
You don't.
I jokingly said that I'll wake up and get on the internet and find out who I'm dating that day. They'll tell you.
Who are you dating today?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked yet. I'll check it out. But it's. I remember when we first recorded "You Like You Love Me," I told Ella, I was like, there's going to be a lot of speculation, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't really have to say anything one way or the other. I think that it's... As a country music fan, they kind of want everything to be true. You know, you want to hear a song and think that's exactly how it happened. And when you see two people on stage singing a song like "You Like You Love Me" or even "Don't Mind If I Do," which is a very like intimate moment on stage, you know, sitting there on stools playing that, I can see why people, you know, they long for that Johnny Cash and June Carter, Tim and Faith.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Yeah, it really is, and it doesn't bother me, but it is very entertaining.
But what
get
seems
sent
to come across
some of the things that I get sent?
Oh, I bet. The thing that seems to come across the most is that you guys are friends and having fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the easy part, you know. I mean, it's
and also getting a number one record in the meantime, so
makes
it's all
it a
good
lot
news.
More fun when things are working like that.
I bet it does.
It's and you know, I think when we did the Hyde Park show, that was one of the first times that we played "You Like You Love Me."
Yeah, I think we were talking right before that.
We
and I think you said
it
that it was
once or
be
twice.
This.
I think before that. So you know, to see people singing that song in a different country was a really eye-opening thing that we might have something that was going to be a really big hit.
Yeah, and then you didn't stop there because you had another one together as well.
Yeah, which was very accidental. You know, I wrote Don't Mind If I Do, and I wrote it as a duet, and I was trying to figure out who I was going to get to sing the female part, and I called a songwriter friend of mine, Jesse Alexander, to come to the studio so I could get a female vocal on it just because I needed to hear it and to make sure it was in the right key and yeah. that, you know, a girl could sing it. And she was busy, and I texted Ella, and she showed up in her pajamas and sang it, and that's what you hear on the record. She did that good of a job. I knew nobody was going to do any better.
Were they matching pajamas? Were they like Garfield?
I say pajamas. It wasn't like you picture like a Christmas story. It was like sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
This is how rumors get started, Riley, here.
Have you not learned yet? I was in matching pajamas.
Fine. Garfield pajamas. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. People are fainting as they hear that, I'm sure. Speaking of fainting, I mean, some of your songs like Worst Way, I mean, that's just filthy, really, isn't it?
It is.
It's just a dirty-minded song,
it
Riley.
It is, yeah. It really
How
is.
Do you feel about that?
Well, I wrote it, you know. The funny thing I tell people is I wrote that song at my farm in Alabama. I was by myself. And then a week later, I wrote Jesus Saves.
Yeah.
The same week. Well, so I feel like I needed
you
to
need
after
Jesus.
I wrote that one.
Yeah, after that, for sure.
You know, I never wrote a ton of love songs. That really wasn't where my mind would go. I always liked the sad country songs. And so I was sitting there and I was like, man, I need to trying to lead into that a little bit and try to write more love songs. And I wrote Worst Way. And I remember after I wrote it, that's a tough thing when you write songs by yourself. You're not bouncing ideas off anybody. So yeah. I'm like, man, is that too much? You know,
filthy.
Yeah, and it was, but well, it worked out. So.
Well, I'm glad you found Jesus after that. But you didn't stop there because there's a song on the new album that's almost filthier, where you can't wait. You're leaving your boots on the front porch. You're not going to make it.
So waiting all day.
Filthy, Riley.
Yeah.
Absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
It's good. It's going to be a hit. People are not going to be able to handle that.
I hope so.
Well, congratulations on being able to do all those different types of things, because I really think it's really difficult to put you into a box, and that's a great thing for an artist, I think.
I feel like there's a middle ground that you got to try to find, which is to have something that people can go, oh, that's a Riley Green song. You know, it's some whatever that is. And I think for me, it's songs like I Wish Grandpa's Never Died or Jesus Saves or My Last Rodeo, songs that have a meaning to them and tell a story or that family value type thing that just make you feel some kind of emotion. And then also to stylistically try to push yourself a little bit outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And with songs like Worst Way and Change My Mind is one that has a little bit more of a kind of rock feel to it that's not just straight traditional country. And I think if you can do that, one of my favorite things about that album is that it has a lot of different types of songs on it.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Something for everybody on there. But also, as we said, some very specific songs that you'll find yourself relating to that you wouldn't even know that you would. So we had a listener, Heidi, she won tickets to your show, and she's has her wedding coming up, and obviously there's a big moment for Heidi, this wedding, but she just told us that she's now looking more forward to your show than she is to her own actual wedding, and I don't know how her future husband feels about that, but how do you feel about that?
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Maybe they can play a song of mine at their wedding.
Do you know what? I reckon they will, unless he vetoes it.
Yeah. I wonder if he's coming to the show.
I reckon he's not. Yeah. I reckon she's bringing some girlfriends.
Probably so.
That's what I reckon. Oh, do you know, I didn't introduce you correctly, because you know what I always do whenever...
I'm excited about this.
No, you know exactly what this is. Mm-hmm. You know what this is. So anytime I play a Riley Green song, which is every day...
Yeah.
It now, this is how I always do it. I go, that was that filthy-minded song, Worst Way by Riley Green.
That's great.
And that's fun times. But you told me I was blowing the wrong end of it the last time. So you now, I'd now
You've
blow
got
the correct
right
in it. I also saw you recently on late night television in America. Who was that?
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon.
Also blew the wrong end.
Well, yeah, I saw this clip that went viral. And first of all, I was furious that went viral and ours didn't. But it made me feel better that I'm not alone in blowing the wrong end of the official Riley Green duck call.
You know, I don't know if it's something about the way the call looks, but
it's
I would
exactly
say
that.
87% of people blow the wrong end.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly. Have you ever thought about redesigning that?
Nope. It makes it more fun.
Okay, it's true. But you said you were going to teach me how to actually do this when you were in town. And I noticed in that clip, the way you do it, like that's not even something I imagined was possible. because I thought, well, yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's great. That don't sound like a duck.
No.
But you got to do like something with your hand, right?
Yeah. You kind of don't blow from your mouth. You kind of blow from your chest, like.
No.
Yeah, LML's not good either. No.
No. Do you have one on you?
Do I? Yeah. Right. Yeah, we got. Of course I do. What are you talking about? Of course I got one.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
So this is how I do it. I'm going to try and real give it, because I see you got to do all this with your hands.
Yeah. Which end is it? Okay, go ahead. Let me hear yours.
Now, I haven't watched the YouTube.
You don't have to prep.
I haven't watched it. I do this every day, but now that it's like.
How about this? Don't pretend that you're introducing a song by me. Pretend that you're calling a duck in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How's a duck sound?
That was more like an animal kind of.
Yeah. Okay, that feels more animalistic. Yeah. All right, now this is how you really do it. I mean, honestly, how am I supposed to know how to do that?
That sounds pretty good. This one's fancy too. Look, it's got my little.
Oh, that's a fancy one. Yeah. That one is. But what you're doing more with your.
You think people stop listening to the radio if we just duck called the whole time?
I can't imagine.
How long could people listen to this is what I want to
know. We're finding out right now.
Especially yours.
That's hurtful.
That's a dying duck.
Yeah. No.
We're getting there. Listen, it's going to take more than a day. It's not going to happen.
Do you have a YouTube tutorial that I could watch?
We'll make one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a great idea.
Hey, when are you coming back? I know you're here now and you're doing this, but listen, we always need to know this because you're a big old superstar. You're touring the world. You're selling out things left, right, and center everywhere you go. And we appreciate you coming over here whenever you can. But, you know, you were here last year.
Yeah.
You're here this year. Can we make this a yearly thing?
I don't see how we can't at this point. I mean, it's as long as people are showing up, I think we'll come over here and play shows.
Well, I mean, I think they're going to keep showing up. What's next after this, after the UK?
We're doing... up to Ireland and then...
Oh, no. Have you been to Ireland before?
I haven't, no.
Do you have a thing about Ireland? Because so many Americans have a thing about Ireland.
What kind of thing?
Well, you know, they're like, oh my, I'm actually Irish, you know, going back 15 generations. My great, great, great,
you mean
great,
they just
great,
lie
great.
Whenever they...
Well, I think they believe it, but
well,
you know.
I mean, I feel like Riley
sounds Irish.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so you haven't been to Ireland before?
No.
That's great. You're going to have a Guinness?
Sure.
You don't sound overly excited about it, if I'm honest, Riley.
Well, I mean, I'm more excited about that than what is it they do in Australia, the shoey, where you drink out of your boot.
Oh, yeah, beer in your shoe.
Yeah, so I'll drink beer out of a glass, any kind of beer out of a glass.
Yeah, as long as it's not your shoe.
That's right.
All right, fine. Well, Riley. Green. Thank you. Why is that? That's not. I'm trying hard here, people.
Yeah.
You see the support I get.
I'm gonna make a little video and send to you, and you can practice it in the privacy of your own home.
Well, I might practice.
Like,
it
imagine
on air.
How great it would be if you were really good.
I feel like I'm not bad.
Okay.
I feel like I could be better.
Yeah.
So thank you, Riley. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Thanks for the duck call.
Of course.
Just make sure you do. I know you're busy, but get me that video, yeah?
I'll take care of it.
All right, thanks. Cheers.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.